You're listening to the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. My name is Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini. Sitting next to me this evening is the lovely and talented Miss Lily V6.
What's up?
Lily is here. And way out there in New Orleans land. Are you in New Orleans or where are you?
I'm in New Orleans.
You're back.
Home. He's back home.
After his many travels around the world in Scotland. Yeah. How was Scotland, Keith?
It's beautiful. It's an amazing place.
It looked fun. I liked all the things you guys were posting.
Yeah, it's one of them places you just have to, like, experience. It's, you know, you can see pictures and postcards and whatever. And you go there and it's more than you think. It's a very, very cool, chill country, and they obviously like to drink. I do think my liver is bruised.
Kind of like how I felt when I left New Orleans.
Other than that, they like to drink, they like to throw down. And it is just a scenic, amazing country. I mean, you go there and it's hard to see a castle in places. I've seen two. So that was fun. You know, so that was, took me back to my days as, you know, when I was medieval.
When I was medieval.
Nice.
Awesome. Okay, Keith is going to tell us some interesting anecdotes from his trip to Scotland here as well tonight. But first of all, you are listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Go to LudiniRockandRollCircus.com. Please check out all the podcasts there. Hear something you like, share them around, let the world know about it. Also, don't forget to click the little merchandise icon there on the front page and pick yourself up a cool t-shirt or something like that. Check it out, LudiniRockandRollCircus.com. If you'd like to be hanging out with us behind the scenes, you want to get in on the planning sessions, you want to check out, I do a bunch of other podcasts as well that I do with a live audience that is not available to the general public. You guys can go to LouLombardiMusic.com/innercircle. You get access to exclusive music, exclusive videos, exclusive conversation. That's all at LouLombardiMusic.com/innercircle. Okay, so tonight, guys, we are going to be talking. The tonight's topic is aging rockers. When is it time to say, you know, when should they say when? When should they say, you know, okay, you know, this is enough. We got to stop for whatever reason. So, or should they? I don't know. You know, so we're going to get into, we had a lot of comments on our Facebook post this week. Very thoughtful stuff. I mean, everybody, it was very interesting, all the different opinions that came out and all the different points of view, the different, just different ways of looking at it. And I was very impressed with you guys. I mean, it was very thoughtful commentary out there on this. So we're going to get to your ideas here in a little while. But let's go ahead and get into the convo tonight. So go ahead. I don't know who wants to chime in first, Lily or Keith? Who wants to talk first?
I'll talk first.
Okay, go ahead, Lily. What are your sort of like impressions on this? We can kind of approach this in different ways, but I think we should just kind of freeform it a little bit and jump around and see what we feel. Keith, if there's anything you don't want to interject while, you know, feel free to jump in. Same with me. So go ahead.
I think there are a lot of factors that go into whether or not you should hang it up, how old you are, how, you know. First of all, it's going to start with definitely the aging. Now, if you're not sounding as good later on in your career, and I'm going to say it like Vince Neil, you might want to think about maybe not doing it anymore. I mean, more power to you. Glad you're out there still. I mean, was a part of one of my favorite bands ever. However, I feel like he's simply doing it just for the money at this point. I don't think if you're now, I'm not a musician, but I think if you're a musician, it should be something having to do with your passion, not just kind of like a cash grab sort of thing.
And I'm going to say it like Vince Neil.
Right.
You might
you're using the argument for, hey, if you're just doing this for the cash,
then maybe you should think about not doing it anymore because you're ruining it.
So in other words, you think that when people go and it doesn't sound the way they remember it or whatever, you think that it kind of leaves a bad taste or bad memory for people?
I do. I think that's kind of hurting your legacy, because at one time you were like here, and just keep it there. If you don't sound the same anymore, just don't do it anymore.
I just want to say this about, because you did throw Vince Neil out there.
Yes.
The videos you posted, though, I thought you sounded good.
Yes.
I was a little scared. You posted, I'm like,
oh, I was a little scared when I went, because the last time I had seen him, and when I seen him in the Motley Crue band a few times prior to that, he sounded awful.
Yeah.
Just awful. And half the time the microphone's out in the crowd, half the time he's singing. But the last time I saw him, which wasn't that long ago, a couple weeks now, he sounded actually really good. Now, I don't know if it's because he was rested or medicated or what have you, or just happenstance. He did sound good the last time, but more times than not, he doesn't sound good anymore.
Yeah. I mean, there is the whole idea of them pushing it. And there is a lot of pressure in this business to really push and push and push, because the more gigs you play, the more money you can make. There's all kind of external pressures on you.
Right.
So it could be, instead of playing 200 dates a year, play 100.
Right. Cut that in half.
Yeah, cut that in half. Rest yourself up so that so that most of the time you actually sound really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's necessary. I'll say why later, why I'm not sure that's necessarily a reason to hang it up or to retire. But Keith, what are your sort of thoughts on it?
I got a lot of mixed opinions on this topic. I think it's a good topic, and I think that I'm not one to tell somebody when to end their career. I mean, if that's what you do for a living, you shouldn't be one to dictate that for someone else. But, however, there's always a but.
Yeah.
When you sort of go out there and you're just doing it, whether it's for the money or you got some kind of vice you got to fuel or whatever is keeping you going, and you're basically, I know you're still selling tickets, but you're an embarrassment to yourself. You can't remember the damn words to your songs, or your band's playing out of tune, or just, you know, nothing's on the same page, and you're just kind of just doing it to do it. That would bother me. Another thing is, like, bands that are almost like a tribute band to themselves. Like, you see these bands go out and they're playing maybe not stadiums or arenas at this point, maybe they're playing like a festival tour, and there's like the second cousin of the nephew's guitar player is the only guy that was related to somebody in the band, and now they're going to be called whatever, Molly Hatchet, one original member maybe in the band. So it's like a tribute act to yourself, basically, what you're doing. Which is kind of embarrassing. But I mean, it's like I said, if you're going out there and still doing it, and more power to you, man. If that's, you know, I heard someone say long ago that, what are these guys supposed to do? It's not like they have a career, you know, other than playing music. They know how to play music, and that's what they do. What do you expect them to go to college and get a degree all of a sudden? No, some of these guys are old as shit, and they're still out doing it. But it's the fact where, how well are they doing? I don't know.
I think you guys both made a good point. You touched on something that I think I can sort of synthesize, and that is passion. And if you still have the passion to play, and you are playing passionately,
and you're doing it for that reason,
that I think that, like, well, I mean, you should be doing it to pay the bills. Keith, you brought up a good point. Like, that's their business. They went into the rock and roll business. So what are they going to do? Some people are well invested. So, like, guys like, I don't know, you guys may know, Sammy Hagar, for just an example, has, like, he's really well invested. He's invested in other businesses, and he owns real estate and stuff like that. So he doesn't have to go out and do that because he's got to pay the bills. You know, that's not really what he does, okay? But a lot of people don't have that for whatever reason, and that's a whole other topic on something else. But even if you are doing it because you got to make money, you should. I really think that. When I pick up my guitar and I put it on and I start playing, I get the same feeling I got when I was 17 years old playing music. It's like that love and that joy of doing it really never goes away. So if you don't have that, I think you need to kind of question what you're doing a little bit. Because what ends up happening, and this is going to kind of go back to what Lily was saying, is it becomes unfair to the fans. You know, and I'll give an example, and I'll just name names. I don't care. I don't know this guy. I mean, I respect Don Dokken. He's accomplished way more in music than I have. He's one of these guys that actually sounded good. Like, he actually did not sound bad. Like, if you close your eyes, it'll be like, yeah, sounds just like Don Dokken.
But
he had no...
He was bored.
Yeah, he looked bored. He looked like he would, like, just rather be home, like, you know, watching Netflix or something.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the case. That kind of gave me kind of a bad taste. But Keith, you brought up a really good thing. It isn't up to us to tell people, and I don't want us to come across. I don't think
that's the point of the podcast,
to tell people like, well, how they should live their lives, or you know, we're like some sort of overlords going to tell people, you know, it's time for you to stop playing music. So ultimately, I think that that one of the key issues is the passion for it. Do you really? Are you like? Can you still be excited about it? You know, whether you sound the greatest or not. I mean, you know, there are times Mick struggles, you know, but there's something, and I don't want to kind of bring this up, and Tina Daniels brought this up on our Facebook post today, and I think I want to kind of throw this out to you guys. There's something comforting about looking at opening up the city paper and say, oh, the Stones are touring.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's like something like comforting about looking down and going like, you know, Don Henley's coming. You know, it's like one. It just kind of makes you feel like rock and roll is still out there. You know, it's still happening, and that these guys that really kind of made it happen are still doing it. Like, if you guys want to talk a little bit about that, go ahead.
Same thing. I get super excited when I see a band that I love coming to town, and I'm always excited to go, and it's something I always like doing because I love seeing live music. It's just sometimes when I get there, it's like, oh, well, I'm glad I saw them, but at the same time, yikes.
Well, what do you think, Keith? Have you ever been to a show that, you know, like what have your experiences with going to see some of these, like, you know, elder statesmen and stateswomen?
It's just, I remember, like, seeing some of these bands on like festival circuits, like back in the day when I was playing a band, sometimes you would get to like open on a second stage or something for these bands. I've seen like bands that were, you know, just playing the Icy Light tent, and like I remember playing shows with like on a bill with like Huey Lewis and the News, or you know, Cool. I was Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Yeah,
I had the you know pleasure of playing with. So you would play before them, and you could actually to watch them and kind of stay around the stage area because you were kind of back there floating around, and you get to see all these guys interact, and they're professionals. But when they go out there, it's like it looked like a bunch of kind of, especially the Casey and the Sunshine Band was it. That's a, you know, like I said, I'm not one to tell anybody to shut it down, but this is several years ago. But it's in fact where it comes to a point where it's you're kind of looking like a dumbass out there. I mean, that's just
you become
just,
kind of a caricature.
Yeah, it's silly, you know. You know, you got still got the gold chains, and he's out of shape, and it's just, you know, it's not really looking, you know, that happening, buddy. So, and then disco's been, you know, dead, thank God, for years, but he's still doing that thing. But like again, if you can make a profit off it and still tour, and it doesn't matter where you're playing, I mean, you can just still do your thing. That's more power to you. And if you needed a drummer tomorrow, I would play with Cajun Sunshine Band, no problem. I'm a whore like that, you know, not to bring up a bad word.
Not to use a bad word.
At the same time, I think that there are certain musical acts or genres that can get away with being old because you're not going for the show. For example, I think you can go to watch any jazz musician, you know, jazz show. You're not expecting a show. Like jumping around and just going because they're just awesome musicians, and you can watch them. Some of them guys are freaking 80-some years old, up there swinging their asses off. They can still do it. So if you can go see, jazz musicians and play because it's acceptable. You're not expecting pyrotechnics, and you know nobody's you know blowing shit up, and there's you know they're jumping around and everything. They're basically standing there like whack playing, but they sound amazing. That's what you're going to that show for. So there are some genres you can get away with being older and maybe you know, still doing your thing, but when it comes to being like a character of yourself, you know, it's a fine line, man. I mean, I wouldn't, like I said, can't tell someone to stop doing it, but when you're out there embarrassing yourself or not sounding, and I think we all get, you know, we all want to sound good, and I would think that when you go out there and you're trying to give people what they pay for, and that you're, you know, listening back to tapes, videos, whatever, talking yourself, and it's not what it was once was, you got to start to, you know, think about
your priorities.
Maybe, you know, going and enjoying your golden years, you know? So,
yeah. Well, I you touched on a couple of things that I want to get into, because there is an aspect of how you look. And I think that acts who the look was really important for them, that is a freaking ticking time bomb for you. I'm sorry. And I think that we can look at like guys like Bret Michaels and David Lee Roth and some of these guys. David Coverdale. The looks were like a really big thing, and they really banked on that. And, you know, it's like, and no offense to women out there, it's like, you know, how long can you be a porn star? How long can you be a stripper? You know, how long is that, you know, going to last? So you've got to have something more substantive to kind of
look.
You know what I mean? But it's a fine line. And some bands really banked on that in their career. Sebastian Bach, different people, they really banked on that. And maybe it wasn't all they're doing either. I mean, it was the MTV era, right? You know?
Yeah, it was glam.
And think about all the bands. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, and we could even do a podcast on this. All the bands that could not, that were really successful in the 70s, but could not get arrested in the 80s when MTV came on. Because they just looked, they did not have a cool look for MTV. A band that, right off the top of my head, that I think of, it was really big in the 70s, is Kansas. Mm-hmm. Great band, mm-hmm. Great players, great songs. But did you ever see a Kansas video?
Nope.
No, you don't really want to see one.
No, I have to. I've seen several. I don't look at it like that because I think they're a great band, so I could care less what they look like.
But in terms of the marketing, and all that, like they could not cross over for that reason. Okay, so bands have really banked on that. I think have to it's time to sort of pay the piper.
They're the strugglers.
Yeah, right they're now. The ones who they have to kind of like pay the piper. I mean. And then you brought up another thing that I wanted to bring up that I wanted to kind of touch on. I'm going to take it a little further. You said, well, it kind of depends on the genre. And sometimes you can get away with it depending on the genre. And this makes me think that, like, look at what Robert Plant did. It, fucking brilliant. He kind of switched genres. He kind of immediately after Led Zeppelin changed his sound and then continued to morph and change his sound. And he still... If you go see him now, he still does the Led Zeppelin material, mm-hmm. but his whole approach to it is more of an Americana kind of thing. And with his look and everything, you don't bat an eye about it. Yeah. You don't even think about it. He looks perfect for that.
He's very adaptable.
Yeah,
though.
He adapted himself very well. So I kind of and you guys brought up David Coverdale, who I think is a shame. I think he's an amazing performer, and I loved Whitesnake. But
I think he's
a guy that could become a blues singer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He should kind of, like, go in that direction, get a killer guitar player and a band to back him up, you know, and go out and do that stuff in a, with a more kind of a blues vibe, play some harp. I mean, he could be in, you know, and the blues guys, when you get old in blues, you get even more respected. I mean, everybody loved B.B. King. Buddy Guy is worshipped like a god. I mean, like, it's like the older you get, the more seasoned you are. So there is an aspect of the kind of music you play and how well you can kind of age gracefully with it. And I will mention one more thing before I turn it back over to Lily, and that is Rush. I mean, if it wasn't for Neil Peart's health issues, they'd be doing another album. They'd be touring again. Like, no, and nobody bats an eye because their music, they never banked on the whole looks thing or any of that. You know what I mean? That isn't what they did. They was like, it was way more about the music, and the fans loved them because of that. Their fan base loved that. So I think those are other things that kind of have to factor into the conversation. Is there something you want to chime in? And then I was going to ask you to see what the, because I see a lot of people commenting.
Yeah, a lot of people commented. I was just going to touch on the adaptability stuff. Now, say you... like you said with David Coverdale, if you're an adaptable band and you're still doing the same stuff, I mean, but expanding upon it, then you can make it. But Coverdale's still kind of holding on to that.
Yeah,
glam,
that's what he's doing. He's still trying
and
to do
you
the
can't,
glam.
And a lot of bands are doing that, yeah. Which is why I think they're struggling, or what the fans think might be struggling at this point. And I think maybe if you changed it up a little bit, or even tried something new, you might still be good at what you do. And I'm sorry if I'm saying like the wrong thing, but I just don't think some bands are good now.
No, it's a podcast.
Yeah,
you give your opinion.
I know. But so we'll go to the comments.
We had a lot of comments on this. This is a lot of fun. I knew this was going to be a lively discussion here.
All right. Let me see here. A lot of hellos to everybody first. Mickey Hernandez, supply and demand should dictate a career. Also, I don't know what he said, like Foreigner too. I don't know if that's negative or positive. Sorry. Quiet Riot, one original member, and it's their drummer, so that's touching on the just one guy in the band. People love nostalgia and give artists a pass, even if they are horrible. I'm guilty of that myself for a lot of bands, because a lot of 80s hair metal I listen to, obviously. A lot of them aren't that good anymore. I don't care. I like going. Seeing these guys do a youthful act keeps us from feeling older ourselves.
I think that's very accurate.
This
is a complicated subject, guys. This isn't like a one. You can't just answer this
right
with one comment. There's a lot to this. Go ahead.
Some have gotten better with age. Aerosmith hit their peak in their 40s.
Who's
Jason Pinkney.
Yeah, we're going to make give shout outs.
Yeah. My thing keeps going goofy. Somebody said something about my boobs. That's great. I saw Herbie Hancock earlier this year at age 78. I agree that Jazz Cats without the visual show can play a lot longer. He still played like a monster, but you were worried every time he jumped with his keytar on. I mean, you know. Oh, Amy Pittsburgh, your boobies look great in that awesome shirt. Thanks.
So, should Lily's boobs retire?
Hey, I can't detach these things. I would love to. Paul Rogers, Jason Pinkney. Paul Rogers sounds and looks better now than he did 40 years ago. And then what's up, Keith, from Billy Altman?
Yeah, Billy Altman messaged me. Says, how come you're not talking to Keith?
What?
Billy, get a bed.
He said, why aren't you talking to Keith? He said that he texted you. You didn't text him back.
But that's our comments for now.
But, there's a lot to this, guys. There's a lot of reasons. Who made the comment about seeing these youthful acts?
That's Jason.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that that's it too. Like, it makes us feel good. Like, I think that was one of the reasons why it was so sad that we lost Tom Petty and David Bowie and Prince last year, because those guys, in many ways, out of all the classic rockers, they were still very relevant. I mean, Bowie always kind of did weird stuff and kind of fell in and out of favor throughout his career, but Tom Petty was completely still putting out music.
Mm-hmm.
In Pittsburgh. And Keith will get this, and maybe you'll get this too, Willie. We have an expression. Oh, they're a YEP artist. And a lot of classic rock artists like Tom Petty, John Mellencamp, Robert Plant have become YEP artists. They've adapted their sound, so they are more now in that album adult album alternative, and not so much classic rock. WYEP, which is the independent station here in Pittsburgh, you know, kind of embraces them and promotes those shows. So those guys tend to kind of go off in that, they kind of found like a scene there, you know, in that sort of thing. We're going to come back and talk about it. We're going to play a band here right now. And we're going to take a break. Everybody, smoke them if you got them, if you need to go to the bathroom or whatever. If you don't, if you are, just crank up the music while you're peeing or pooping or whatever. And check out this band. It's a great band called Hardcore Superstar. You can't kill my rock and roll. Hardcore Superstar on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus.
Take a ride on the skyline. I can't stand from a shot.
All right, that is Hardcore Superstar. And you can go to hardcoresuperstar.com. Check those guys out. Great heavy rock band, keeping rock and roll alive. Very cool track, too. You Can't Kill My Rock and Roll. My rock and roll, anyways.
I like it.
You can't kill my rock and roll.
Or mine.
Or mine.
You know, I wanted to cut it.
Oh, I'll whoop your ass.
I'll whoop your ass.
That should be the name of the song.
You Kill My Rock and Roll, I'll whoop your ass.
Aye.
We had a lot of comments on Facebook today. Christine Brizard, Shelly Duff, Jason Pinkney, Billy Mank, Dino.
I don't know how to pronounce Dino's last
name. Dino, great name, dude. Good Paisan for sure, buddy. Jeff Mazzy, Katie Simone, Gregory Steigerwald, John Richard Brower, Frank Rodriguez, Billy Altman, Sheena Berkeley, Tina Daniels. You guys went crazy commenting. I love it. But
all the people.
But I really want to talk about what Billy Evanochko said. Billy is I've had Billy on the podcast before. Billy's a great musician, a great guitar player, blues guy from the Pittsburgh area. But he said, who are we to dictate when someone should retire? Opinions are like assholes. Everyone has them. I say to any artist, play till you decide not to play. And really, at the end of the day, that is what that's what they're going to do.
That is what they're going to do. But at the same time, isn't it the fans kind of?
Well, see, that now this is what I think. This is the second half of that.
Okay.
I think ultimately, no matter, and we're going to continue on because I want to talk about a couple artists in particular. We've mentioned David Calverdale. I want to talk about Axl Rose. But ultimately, the fans are going to vote with their tickets. And Sheena Berkeley brought this up. She's an artist should retire when they no longer can sell tickets. And ultimately, that's who's going to decide. First, people want to see these bands for so many different reasons. Tina Daniels Malesko says, for me, it's the flashback it brings me. The songs have meaning to me, especially the Stones. Mick struggles, but I don't want him to retire simply because he's part of my past.
And I completely agree with her.
And I think that is why you went to see Steely Dan and were like, I don't care that Donald Fagen didn't really sing that well because, like, this music means so much to me. You know, the band sounded good, and that was fine. You know, I think it would have been different if they were completely slopping up, you know. But but I think that there is that aspect of it. People will, like, want to go because this music means something to them. And even if it isn't, and I think part of it is, too, being in the same room with an artist that, like, did this music that, like, changed your life. I'll be honest with you. I saw Robert Plant, and while the show was awesome, the thing that was blowing my mind was, and I had really close seats. I was five rows back.
Nice.
And I was like, I was 20 feet away from the guy who sang Stairway to Heaven. That was all that was hitting, going through my mind the entire show. This is the man that sang Stairway to Heaven, the most popular rock tune, arguably, of all time. And here I'm standing, like, I could spit at him. You know, I was like, mind blown.
Messed up.
What was that?
If I ever see you spit at Robert Plant, I'm kicking somebody's ass.
I would love to see you kick his ass if he spit on him.
I would not spit on Robert Plant.
I would pay you money.
It was just like this amazing experience, and I think that's one of the things people love is they go and they go like, oh my God, it's Journey, and they're singing Don't Stop Believing, and I love that song, and they're just like, you know, in that experience of it. So it's not necessarily, well, he can sing or he can't sing or he can play or he can't play.
It's the nostalgia.
Yeah, it's a little nostalgia kind of thing about it, too. That people are, they're having that, they're like in that zone. Katie Simone, former podcast host, gonna get lynched for this. Uh-oh, here he goes. Here we go. She's getting dangerous. Gonna get lynched for this, but screw it. Stevie Nicks, I've seen her twice in the last 4 years. Once to Fleetwood Mac, once solo. Had to leave three songs into her solo set and went to the bar when she sang songs with Fleetwood Mac. She's lost what little range she had and has very little stamina and strength left in her voice. So, but Katie, guys, you should know, Katie is probably one of Pittsburgh's, like, best singers. So she's a singer. So she's listening for that. She's going and
she's
listening
legit.
For it. Yeah, so she's listening for that. So some people, Katie, they didn't care. They were like, oh, my God, I just 17. Yeah, woo. You know, they're reliving the night that came on the radio and they're making out with their boyfriend, you know, in the backseat, you know, and Edge of 17 came on and it was like, and they're just there and they're having that experience. Jeff Mazzy says David Lee Roth should retire. I want to talk about Axl Rose.
Do you want to talk about Axl?
Yeah, I want to talk about Axl Rose because there's a lot of sort of, well, I've heard so many people say about how bad he sucks. Now, but I want to tell you, this is the experience. I was trolling YouTube. This is maybe 2 years ago, and it was a cell phone video. So this was not a video that, this wasn't like a DVD where he had maybe gone back and fixed up his vocals or anything. Mm-hmm. It was a cell phone video. It was them live, and it was before they like reunited with Slash and all that. Buckethead was playing guitar, and he sounded just like Axl Rose. There was nothing, I could not criticize anything about his vocal performance. He sound, I listened to about five songs, and he sounded, he sang Paradise City, and all, I was like,
so it sounded like it should sound.
Yeah, it sounded just like it should sound. Now, what I suspect is kind of what we touched on earlier is like, I think these guys are doing too many dates.
Yes.
They need to work with a good vocal coach, and they need to do less dates. That type of singing
is
pushing them, especially for guys.
Yeah.
That's pushing the limits of what the male voice can do. You know, I scratch my head though when you said about Donald Fagen, Keith, because that is really hard singing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
The guy's older now. I'm not saying that he's bad. I'm just simply saying that I've saw him twice in the last 2 years. And I think the first time I saw him, the band is so freaking great that I just can't really, you know, say anything bad about it. But like, he knows his limitations, and he has backup singers that are really good, all female backup singers. And next thing you know, it's like, he sounds, you know, good, but I'm not saying that, you know, hey, last time I seen Rush, Geddy wasn't, it was towards the end of the tour, Geddy wasn't on his game, his voice was always been a little bit, I see. And it's, you know, I love Rush, it's like blasphemy, I'm getting like the voodoo doll pain in my side.
Does it hurt you? It hurts your heart to say that.
It does. It pains me. That and high cholesterol. But just one of those things where you have to. I'm not saying that those guys could go without, you know, like I said, I'll agree with what you said before. If it wasn't for Neil's health problems, Rush would be playing today where they'd probably drop dead on stage. And that would be cool. I'd hope I was there, you know, because I'd be like, they went out with a bang, man. That was awesome. As long as they finished the set.
I haven't seen Axl Rose or heard Axl Rose sing since way back, unless it was on TV.
There's a live. It's a live in Rio or something show that's out, concert out that's like professionally produced. It's the reunited with Slash and all that. And it, honestly, in that he sounds a little iffy. But they're playing to like 30,000 people, screaming fans. Like
they get the stadium anyway. So.
People want to hear it. And to go back to what the. Let me see. Who was it? I think it was Sheena Barkley said, yeah, hey, they're selling tickets.
Then let it be.
They look like they were. I mean, he looks like he's into it. I mean, he doesn't look. He's not yawning on stage.
Well, that's good.
You know what I mean?
Not like Don.
And another guy who I wanted to kind of bring up is, what do you guys think of Steven Tyler and the whole Aerosmith thing?
That pains me to even talk about him. I love Steven Tyler. I love the way he sings, everything about him. I haven't seen anything lately. I don't want to see anything right now. It might make me cry. It might make me actually cry. But that's one of my bands that I'm going to go and see regardless of how bad they are or how good they are or what have you. So it doesn't matter to me.
What do you feel about
it? I can't really give you an opinion on this. I've seen Aerosmith once in my life, and I don't think Aerosmith has been good since 1980, man. So
well, I wasn't born in
the 90s, and it was, that was it. All their stuff,
They sounded good, like, when they cleaned up and got off the drugs and did, like, Pump and all those records. You don't think they sounded good? See, I've heard that they were, like Stu has seen them number of times, and he really felt like that was really their heyday, like, in the 90s when they cleaned up.
I've seen them, and it was them and the Black Crowes in the Burgerstown Amphitheater, whatever it's called this week. And
Key Bank.
I thought they sounded good, but that's been like, how many years ago is that, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure they still, the band has been playing together so long, I would think that there's some kind of chem. If you can't get to them damn songs at this point, then you might want to hang up. But I'm sure it's probably like a well-oiled machine, man. They probably can't mess up if they tried. I haven't heard them in so long that I can't have an opinion about it, that's all.
I know Jason Pinkney and I would agree on the whole Pump being one of their best albums, as well as Nine Lives.
Permanent Vacation. They had like a trilogy of records in that era, and they sounded really good. They wrote great songs. But they did bring in outside help. When they worked with guys like Desmond Child and people that came in and like brought songs to them that they kind of reworked.
I haven't seen them in like a good 10 years, but at least.
You know, it's just one of those things where they had Diane Warren writing songs for them. I don't want to miss a thing. You know, she's one of the biggest, you know, most prolific pop songwriters of all time. So
yeah.
It's, you know,
do you wanna,
it helps to get along, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But so let's go ahead. It's interesting how some artists, you know, what I think is interesting, I just did it's going to come out tomorrow, Bluesy Tuesday. Slash is putting out a new record with Miles Kennedy. And I think it's so interesting that, like, in my opinion, his music with Miles Kennedy is, like, way more relevant than, like, Guns N' Roses at this point. You know, Guns N' Roses waits 15 years to put out Chinese Democracy, and nobody even, like, you know, noticed. That was their fault. That record needed to come out like a year or two after you did. But in any case, you know, he's one of those guys that some of these artists are able to kind of like work themselves in, you know, in different ways. You know, and I think Slash is one of those guys. I think Zach Wilde is one of those guys. They're able to find different projects where they can kind of fit in and work with. Look at what Santana did. You know,
working with all the new guys.
You know, and then what he did, that was like the early 2000s.
Yep.
You know, he had a huge resurgence by just saying, okay, you know, because when he went to go out on tour, they were like, well, we're going to put you on tour with REO Speedwagon and, you know, these like heritage acts. He's like, whoa. No, I want to be a current act. And so he took it upon himself to connect with, you know, these current artists. So there are ways for these guys to even, you know, as at that point, Santana was probably in his 50s.
I would assume,
yeah.
If not older.
If not even older, you know. So, but let's, we're gonna kind of end this for today. It's a great conversation. I say, you know, I agree with the everybody here that says, you know, John Richard Bowers has played You Drop. Sure. Why not? You should. And I think that, just for the record, I think Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson are going to play. Sorry, Keith. I think they're going to play. I don't think they're going to call it Rush, but I've seen some interviews with both of them. They're like, we aren't done playing music. So I says they're going to do something. I don't know what it's going to be, and I know it'll be awesome no matter what they do. I don't think they're going to work with Portnoy though.
Oh damn, that's a shame. Not really.
So I want to get into a couple of things. First of all, Keith, I want you to tell us a little bit about Scotland, and I want you to tell us about, you saw some cool concerts this week. That goes right along with our topic.
Yes, go on.
Go ahead, Keith.
You go first. I want to hear about Scotland.
What am I doing?
Talking about Scotland. Yes.
Tell us about Scotland.
Well, first of all, let me just tell you one thing. If you go to Scotland, that plane ride sucks my ass. I mean, that's a long time on a freaking plane, man. I'm serious. I couldn't take that. I had to knock myself out. I literally took a hammer with me, stuck it in the airport, smashed myself in the head, and went to sleep for 8 hours. That's how painful. But when I got there and woke up, and I took a couple aspirin first, and then I went, and it was just, I had a blast there. We had a blast, and it was a good time. Scotland, people were very friendly there. I started at Edinburgh. That was a great city. It's very old school. Got a castle. It looks, you know, very old. Because it's, you know, they have even parts of the sections of town, old town, new town, kind of. So it's a great place to visit. Very friendly people. Glasgow was cool. I've heard mixed reviews on Glasgow, but Glasgow was cool. People were friendly. Went to Stirling, saw another castle. People were friendly there too. And everybody knows you're American as soon as you open your mouth. So they you know, right there. They got that. And a lot of them, you know, just everybody I met was real friendly. They love America. They want to visit America. Why wouldn't you? Home of, you know, mass gun violence, the Kardashians, and Donald Trump. What's there to love? It's one of them things where, come on over. We got room for everyone. And it's just, it was an amazing time. Went to the Highlands, drank a lot of scotch.
What was the food like?
The food is not good.
Ah, damn it. I can't then. I need all the food. That was my favorite part about New Orleans.
Yeah, that's you're spoiled here. It's there. I mean, I had to order like the most simplest thing on the menu, because that way I was like, you can't F this up, right? And then but at the end of the day, you're ordering like chicken salad, because I'm like, okay, it's lettuce and it's chicken with dressing. You can't F that up.
And
they didn't, luckily.
And they did. They would mess it up. I was Yeah, it is. That's a long flight. I went to Germany and Austria.
And that is
a long. You're over the ocean for a long period of time, and you do try whatever you can do to anesthetize yourself.
What was the flight to New Orleans like? 4 hours, and I had to be drunk the entire time.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? The furthest I've flown was San Francisco. There's no way I could fly. No.
Yeah,
that's a long.
That's. I remember when I got on the plane out of Philadelphia. And they at the time, I don't know if they still do this. I don't know if they did this on your flight, but they have a screen that shows you like how much distance you've made over the ocean. And I was like, oh my God, how far over the Atlantic Ocean do we have to freaking fly? And I was starting to have a freaking panic attack.
I would be heavily drugged to be going.
Because you're
absolutely
right.
United.
There's no way
you can do that on the screen. You can pull that up on the screen. How fast the plane's going? How much time left? How many miles you traveled? I was like, holy hell, man.
Yes,
I've been on this plane thousands and thousands of miles, and there's still thousands to go. I was like, where the hell? Let me get there.
I want no parts of that.
Billy Manx says, slide me some haggis. Haggis was very, it was a bright spot. It was decent. It wasn't that bad, considering what it's made of. And, you know, intestines and stomach things and stuff from sheep and goats and whatever else. That was a very pleasant surprise. I had haggis twice there, and it was very good at it.
The food in Germany and Austria was absolutely amazing. It was absolutely killer.
I can believe that, but
I gained 10 pounds in 10 days. Yeah, it was absolutely delicious. Great desserts.
I have to do this. I hope you're kidding. Billy Altman says you should have drove to Scotland. You're joking, right?
Billy.
If you're not Billy, I'm calling your high school tomorrow.
Billy, you're in so much trouble. Go to bed.
Please tell me you're Jeff.
These kids today, Keith, these kids. What's wrong with these kids today?
Billy.
Shame on you. Drove. I think Billy.
You're hopped up on goofballs, aren't you?
Jesus. So from Scotland, let's come back to America. And keeping with our topic tonight, Lily saw a couple of heritage acts this week. So go ahead and tell us about what you saw.
Well, Wednesday I saw Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson. I still love them. However, they're falling short of what they should be doing.
Well, what do you mean? Why?
Well, I don't know if Marilyn Manson was sick, but he wasn't doing a whole lot of anything. He was singing, I guess is what you can call it, but he kept kneeling down or sitting down. He wasn't into it. Next day he actually canceled his show. Rob Zombie, like I was telling Keith earlier, he was starting to get a little winded at the beginning of his set. Still sounded good. I've heard him better, but he still sounded good. But like I said, was kind of tired. The food was not good at Star Lake, just so everyone knows.
It might have been a Scottish cuisine.
It's fried chicken. The beer was good. And then on Saturday, I took one of my very good friends, Ron, back to Key Bank to see REO Speedwagon and Chicago. Both were amazing. Both sounded fantastic, just like they do on the radio, just like they do on all of my CDs, records, what have you. I really enjoyed that show a lot. Chicago they played all of Chicago too, and then they played radio hits. So it was a little controversial because they were kind of doing the political thing from what was it, 69, the Chicago 2 came out, and they were transitioning into the Black Lives Matter here today. So a lot of people actually walked out on the show. But the performance was fantastic. It was so good. And REO Speedwagon, like I said, sounded just like they do on the radio, and it was amazing. And you know what? They're old guys, and they sound great. So
yeah, well, I mean, they cleaned up at the right time and started taking care of themselves. And any parting thoughts, guys, before we wrap up tonight's show? Anything that anybody want to add? I have one thing I want to share before we go, but I'll let you or Keith chime in. You guys have anything else you want to say about it?
What, tonight's topic?
Yeah.
Yeah, I fell asleep for a second there. I think
aging rockers.
I think that, again, it's a contradiction, but I think there is some bands that, you know, if anybody can chime in with some bands that probably, for one reason or another, maybe shut it down. Just do us all a favor. I got a couple, you know, that I would like to see just call it good night. But like I said, I can't force these bands to do this.
Well,
but for one,
they doing something to you personally that makes you wish they would quit? I mean, why would you want them to quit?
Yeah, They're making my ears hurt.
I just think you should leave your legacy your legacy if you're not sounding good anymore.
Well, you know, I want to bring something. Okay, there is another point I do we can make, and we should talk about this because this is the kind of elephant in the room.
Oh.
And the elephant in the room is Led Zeppelin. Because everybody's like when Richard Branson offered them $1 billion with a B to get back together. First of all, a quarter of the band is literally dead, like not on the planet anymore.
Correct.
So Led Zeppelin cannot reunite.
It's not going to be Zeppelin.
It's never going to be Zeppelin. Sure. Even with Jason's a cool drummer. John Bonham was the drummer.
He's not John.
No, he's not John. Okay, and that's the end of that. What I don't want to see them do. As I don't remember you guys ever see the movie The Last Waltz? What it is, right? Yeah. You know, they do this whole thing. Martin Scorsese makes this movie. It's brilliant. And then they release another album. And they keep touring it. Like, you know, and it's like they became, we said this before, they became caricatures of themselves. They didn't do anything of quality after that point. And like Led Zeppelin kind of ended at their, they were like, they did how many albums did Zeppelin do, Keith? You
oh
know,
my God.
Right? 12
studios,
yeah, studio albums, and the song remains the same. So what? What is that? How many albums is that?
You got 1, 2, 3, 4. Then you got Coda, Presence,
Physical Graffiti,
Into the Unknown.
So they've got what? 9, 10 albums. The thing about Led Zeppelin is there? Do they have a bad album? I would argue no, they do not.
No, I mean, there's some that are better than others, but I mean, that's everybody.
But it's still
you can say that about
solid.
The Beatles. Yeah,
they're solid.
Everything they did was good. You know, hard
to pick a bad Zeppelin album.
Yeah, I mean, there's songs by Zeppelin I like more than less than others, but, you know, and so just let it go. I mean, in many ways, they're fortunate to kind of like leave with that kind of legacy. You know, in showbiz, they always say, like, leave them wanting more. I mean, what more could you say? I mean, that's exactly what they did. And the guy who has me scratching my head, though, is Jimmy Page. You know, Robert Plant went on and did all these amazing things. And Jimmy Page, I don't know why he didn't do more records. It just kind of...
Well, he's waiting for the rest of the guys.
No, he wasn't. I mean, he did, like, I thought, like, The Firm could have been a band that they could have revisited every 5, 6 years. Like, they didn't have to constantly put out records. Like, him and... I thought that was a cool band. I mean, I thought Coverdale Page was cool. Like, he could have... I just wish he would have done more post-Zeppelin to kind of just keep playing, just put more music out. I was a little... That kind of, like, frustrated me a little bit. But in any case, we're going to wrap it up, guys. Lily, why don't you go ahead and plug your show?
Listen to my show Thursday nights, Hot Licks with Lily Six on Rock Rage Radio. I was waiting for you to do the thing. you can either go to the website, which is rockrageradio.com, where you can get the app free on your phone if you have a smartphone. If you have a flip phone, sorry. You're SOL.
If you have a flip phone. If you have a BlackBerry.
Right.
So what about you, Keith? What do you got going on with your BlackBerry this week, buddy?
My BlackBerry's, I had some billing issues, so it's been shut off.
All right, guys. We're gonna end it for today. But we're going to give the final word to Christine Bizard. And I think this is just kind of really says it all. They brought us joy throughout their life, so we should return it and let them do what they love for as long as they want to without criticizing them. Continuing to love, respect, and support them is a way of saying thank you for all the magic they brought. Everyone ages eventually. Well said, Christine.
I agree.
Thank you so much. Thank all the fans that participated. My good friend Shelly Duff and I went back and forth on this today.
Oh, Shelly.
She has a lot of good thoughts on it. So friend us on Facebook, and you guys can get in on all this stuff. LouLombardiMusic.com/innercircle if you want to get the behind-the-scenes stuff. You want to get exclusive music, exclusive videos, exclusive conversation, check that out. Please go to LoudiniRockAndRollCircus.com and click the little merch button there to help support the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Thanks to my co-hosts tonight, Lily V6. And Keith the Hawk Hawkins, fun as always. It's like a band. It's like a power trio.
We are the power trio.
Keeping rock and roll alive, just for yins, guys, and all that. All right, guys, we're gonna get the hell out of here. Thanks for hanging out with us. Ludini rockandrollcircus.com is the website, and we'll catch you guys on the next Ludini. rock and roll circus. And in the meantime, it's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
To the top.